I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What is holding you back? What is holding you back? What is it that you want to do with your life? Where is it right now that you're missing the mark? And most importantly, why? Well, I'll tell you what. Since our best insight, unfortunately, comes from hindsight, we can learn a lot about where we went wrong from those who have lived a lot, which is exactly what Bronnie Ware did. She wrote a book. She worked in hospice for years and years, and she started noticing that at the end of all of our lives, people have five common regrets about how they lived. And when she asked them about what they would actually do differently, she says people generally have these same five answers. One, they wish that they had lived a life true to themselves rather than the expectations of others. People wish that they hadn't worked so hard but focused more on enjoying life. And people wish that they had expressed their true feelings, what they really felt, instead of bottling them up or faking how they felt, which is something that I think we all do. And they also wish that they had stayed in touch with their friends instead of slowly letting them slip away. And of course, they wish that they had let themselves just be happier by pursuing the joys of life over all the jobs of life. So I gotta ask, any of those hit home with you? Yeah, me too. They do for me a whole bunch. And I tell you, through the Christian lens, which is what I immediately see when I heard that, all I see here are symptoms of sin. Because that is where you get the apathy and the dishonesty and the self-sufficiency that leads to living a life of all these regrets. It's the exact same stuff. And you know what? It's just like Paul when he says, you know, I do not do the good that I want to do. But the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, then it is no longer I who do it. But it is sin living in me that does it. Ew. Gross, right? That's weird. Sin living in us does it. Yikes. Right? That just sounds creepy, like an alien parasite or a conscious cancer inside you, just working against you. Boo. But if that thing in you, that sin that's in you, that's doing this stuff, it is responsible for all the stuff that we don't want to do, that we keep on doing, then I got to ask, why don't we just kill it? Right? Take it behind the barn. That's it. We just kill it. I'll tell you, one of the reasons it's hard to do, it sounds easy, but it's hard to do. And part of the reason why it is so hard is this awful, but unfortunate phenomenon called the region beta paradox. You ever heard of this? Region beta paradox. And to explain, I got a very sad story I want to share with you. It's about me at the age of 23. You got to see this guy last week. Oh, he's got it all figured out, doesn't he? Look at him. He's so smug. But anyway, when I was 23 and I was that guy, I went to a local concert where a girl with a camera showed up and asked me to show my best dance move. And so in a misguided attempt to impress her, I went for some maneuver that was way beyond my ability, and something in my knee snapped, and I just fell down, and that was it for me. And since now at that point, I needed my friends to help me walk, I was very kindly asked to leave by security. And that was the end of that night. A lot of lessons learned there. But here's the thing. The next morning, I found that I could still hobble around a little bit if I just avoided stairs altogether, you know? So problem solved. So I avoided stairs for 9 months. I just didn't go upstairs. That was it. And to this day now, I got one of those knees that whenever the weather is about to change, it just aches a little bit extra. So it's a fortune-telling knee. So yeah, there's that. But here is the hidden tragedy in all of that, okay? The pain was very intense, but because I could still tolerate it and just barely make a round on it, I never actually took it to a doctor for treatment, which is very much unlike the time that I broke my ankle and I couldn't walk, and I went straight to the doctor and got a cast. Because I had no choice. I had to. I couldn't walk on it. So listen to this. In the end, that means that my trick knee has actually caused more pain than the shattered ankle. Because worse pain means better motivation to go find that fix. So I actually would have been way better off if the injury was worse, because I would have been forced to deal with what was wrong. And that is the region beta paradox. It stinks. It is when we settle for a tolerable situation that prevents us from pursuing a better one. It refers to this paradoxical idea that whatever is familiar and comfortable, even if it's not desirable, but just familiar and comfortable, it holds us back from embracing the opportunities and challenges that can lead to growth and transformation and a more meaningful life overall. And it's a term that was coined by Stumbling on Happiness author Dan Gilbert. Very interesting book. And he has observed the behavior across the board in humans in all areas of life. For example, one of these is probably you. If we're unhappy with our job, but we're not experiencing some intense, terrible stress, we will likely stay there and we won't look for a new job because this one is good enough, right? And we see this in relationships as well, where we may not feel the need to make that positive change that we know we should, because it could jeopardize our comfort zone. You know, it's, again, good enough. And in our health, like me, we see this all the time, because we will ignore a plethora of pains because those little pains are a lot more tolerable than all of the exhausting effort that it takes to discover what's actually wrong and make your appointment with the doctor and then go get the doctor's orders and actually obey them. That's a lot of work, so we'll just put up with it. So, here's the sad part. It works the exact same way spiritually. When we learn to live with a little sin while it's killing us softly, by slowly but surely keeping us just comfortable enough to not make that one big, potentially painful change that could save our life. And that is following Jesus 100%. And we know this because Jesus himself warns us. He says that there's gonna be pain on his path. Here's what he says. He says, "Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Guys, come on. "I've come to bring fire on the earth. Do you think that I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but division." That's a hard sell. Sheesh, at that point, I mean, I get it. I understand why we're so conflicted here. That makes it tough because, sure, we all want to live a life without regret, right? Do it the right way. But swords and fire and division, you know, that makes the tolerable pain of apathy and dishonesty and self-sufficiency actually sound better because it's a little bit easier. It's not so painful. Except this is where Jesus tips the scales. He also said, "I have come that they," that's us, "may have life and have it to the full." And that's it right there. There's the rub. The ultimate promise of Jesus is your ultimate life lived. But it's tough because to take the steps to walk away from our comfort zone, we need to expect, and beyond that, we need to embrace the idea that things just might have to get worse before they get better. And that's tough. Oh, so I got to ask you guys, you have that mindset. Are you ready to weather some serious storms in your life?
Maybe.
Maybe. Give him a resounding maybe. He'll take it. That's it. That's the slippery slope right there. Well, wherever you are, I mean, are you sure? Because, I mean, we want to say yes, right? I want to be like, yeah, I'm ready, whatever you want. You know, we're all the Peter. And the, wherever you say, Lord, and then we cower as soon as it gets tough. But we want to be there. And it's tough, though, because when something starts rocking our boat, even disciples can miss the boat. Like the time that a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat full of disciples and Jesus. so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Sleeping in this, well, only then, right there, at that point, when they were at their wits' end, right? They're swamped, they're going down, this is it. And they could no longer tolerate the waves anymore. At that point, right then, the disciples finally woke him. And they said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, and I just love to imagine how he did it. What's that? A little rough out here for you? Yeah, He got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to the disciples, who are just shaking in their boots, I'm sure, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified. And they asked each other this key question here that he got them to ask that changes the way. It gets us to rethink the way that we live life by asking this one question. This is what they said to each other. Who is this? Who is this? That's a question we all need to ask. And you know, once we start walking with Jesus, like the disciples, once we start walking with Jesus, we can begin to believe that we have already moved past all our pain and our problems and our panic. But that's not true. And it's not just misguided. It's almost entirely backward. Because the great physician is not about temporary relief. He's all about real rehabilitation. Amen. Getting the fix, that's right. And that can hurt. If you've ever gone through anything like that, like, you know, this is why my knee is still no good. They've told me later on that I should be doing exercises, and I said, that's not going to happen. So I got to live with it for the rest of my life. But that's it. Real rehabilitation can hurt. It takes effort. It's tough. And here's the thing. The Christian life is not comfortable, but it is valuable. Because it is lovingly designed to rock our boat with challenges and opportunities that can lead us to identify and then overcome all of our ongoing aches and pains that we are letting hold us back. So you see, we actually need storms to reveal our spiritual weaknesses and where we are living in conflict with God, in conflict with others, and in conflict with our true self. That's what they show us. Because before that, before things actually blow up, our lives can just be full of this low-level frustration and irritation and depression that slowly just grows into becoming our new normal. And we accept it. And as we follow the path of least resistance, we slip into this trance of the tolerable. And it's just the worst thing. It is just the worst. Because we start avoiding all of the effort and anxiety of actually getting better so that we can keep the rest and comfort of this new normal. We'll settle for these slightly choppy seas rather than paddling for shore because we worry about rocking the boat. And that if we rock the boat, we could be making more waves. And we don't want to do that because we don't like it. But boy, when we're doing that, we are so, that trance has got us blankly looking past the fact that avoiding affliction leaves us lost at sea. We're toast. But here's the good news. Good news, bad news. Here's the good news. But at some point, no matter what, if we try to avoid it, something will snap us out of it. Because even if we ignore all of the chronic aches and pains that we can't look past, well, if we could, all the little ones anyway, the thing that we cannot look past has the quality that gives everything, all of our worries, its real feel, and that is death. We can't ignore death. You can try. We have tried. We do it all the time, but you can't. And thank the Lord for death, because we need something that is going to shake us and wake us and make us choose to change. And it has to be huge. It has to be too big for us to ignore, to shock us all to the core, because he's trying to save us all. So he's trying to wake us all up. So it has to be huge. So if we won't invite God on board to rock our boat a little bit, well, he's got death as the last resort to snap us right back to life, because we're all going to face it. Because this is the truth about Jesus. Jesus isn't just the one who calms the storms. He is also the one who storms the calm. And we forget that. But he's going to do it because he wants to kill the comfort that grows our apathy and dishonesty and self-sufficiency and leads to all of that sin and regret that we don't want. He won't have it. Because the bottom line is this: God loves us too much to let us live with the sin that is smothering our soul. Too much. So guess what? He's going to do whatever it takes to get you to him. Whatever it takes. Regardless of how hard he has to rock your boat. And that's scary, but it shouldn't surprise you. It shouldn't surprise any of us because he warns us about it. He's very forthcoming. That's sort of the, you know, it's very honest of him to say, look out, this is how I work. Because he said it before in his word, the way that he's willing to work. He says, because we're told, he commands and raises the stormy wind. Who does? He does. God, which lifts up the waves. They reel to and fro. That's us. And they're at their wit's end. And then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. Because that is what it takes. That's what it can take to break that trance of tolerable. And he brings them out. He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. And then they are glad because they are quiet. And at some point, they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord because bad weather drives them closer to a good God. And he'll do it. So I want to make sure that we all get that. You get this, right? You get that our Father, God, can stir up a storm just to settle it down, all so that we can see why we need who he is. Because he is both doctor and dad. And therefore, he is 100% committed to a loving cure for whatever it is that is in us that is killing his kids. He won't stand for it. He's going to get it done. And so if we won't bring the pain to him for treatment, well, then a bigger pain might be the best and most loving prescription available. So sorry, not sorry, you know? Sometimes Jesus has to make outer waves so that he can calm our inner storms. It just might have to happen. It might be the best thing that he can do for you, the most loving thing he can do for you. Because that right there, when he gets us in that state, that is when we're willing to rethink how we handle all of life's up and downs, right? Otherwise, we just try to ignore it and look past it in that trance. But I want you to just look back at your own life. Think back. Look at all of the most pivotal moments in your life where something changed for the better. And you'll likely see that the deep change usually comes from a crisis. When a crisis hits home, I know that is true for me. Some of the toughest stuff has created some of the most incredible fruit in my life. Because right then, that is when the opportunity most forcefully and effectively presents itself. And it's also where we can grow to know God as our doctor dad. We can start to see his character in that when we start to see that the love that we need most is often the love that we want least. And so when you understand who he is and what he's doing and why he's got to do it, it starts to make sense. Even though sometimes the Lord's love feels like the opposite of love. Why are you picking on me, Lord? Feels like it sometimes, but that's only because we can't see everything that he can see. He knows what he's doing. We can't see it, but here's what we can do, guys. We can trust it. We can trust the process by remembering this. We are not here to avoid pain. We're here to respond to it. That's what this place is for. Because behind the very real pain that he allows is an even more real love. I mean, who do you think brought the storm that Jesus calmed, right? I mean, in our story, that's what happened. It was him. But he had to calm it so that he could reveal his authority to the disciples. They needed the storm so that they would have to see the depth of his power and authority. Good stuff comes out of that. So you know what? Blessed indeed are God's poor, hungry, and hurting kids, since they're ready to see how deep their dad's reach can really go. Because we're ready for it after an affliction, right? Right after enduring an affliction, our humbled heart is way more motivated to actually make the change and find our fix and see what's going on. And I mean, at that point, it's so silly not to do it. Why would you waste your pain? You're already pain. We're all in pain. That's what, I mean, everybody agrees. It's so much suffering down here. So use it. Learn from it. It's the part of discipline that's always the hardest, is enduring the pain. You're already doing that. So now, why not just take Jesus up on his offer when he says, come to me, all you who are already weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. But by this time, we should know that if we take him up on that, also, big or small, whatever aches and pains we take to the great physician, the doctor's orders aren't going to make things easier, but they will make them better. That's a promise. And when we start to get better, we'll finally see and actually get some of that real rest, the real rest that we're trying to get. We've been trying to get it from the beginning. Because nobody but Jesus has actually experienced all of what God has waiting for us, which is why it's so crazy. But it's the New Testament in Jesus' time in Hebrews says there remains a rest. There remains a rest for the people of God. One that we haven't felt yet. So what is that? What is that rest? Well, you know how Bruce is big on the Bible being a big puzzle all the time? And I am, I'm the sucker. I'm in. 100%. It is. It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle that draws us in to engage. It's a big game of seek and find. Well, a big part of that perspective comes from when Isaiah asks God how he'll teach us. And he says, well, through his word, of course. Through his word stored up in our heart. But precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Because he aligns the pieces that we need in our time of need. He does that. Here a little, there a little. And get this. This is the rest. This is the rest. With which you may cause the weary to rest. And so come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you what? Rest. Yet they would not hear. But not us. We're going to try and hear. We're going to open our ears. So pick up a Bible. Because it turns out real rest comes from a heart full of God's word, not your worry. Amen. Mm-hmm. In fact, go back to our story. Just imagine if the disciples had the Old Testament explanation about why God might raise a storm that we just read, if they had that psalm in their heart when their New Testament storm began to start. They could have just connected the dots and seen the purpose in their peril and then been able to trust the process. I see what God is doing here now. I understand it. I'm not freaking out. And maybe, just maybe, they'd have the kind of rest that allows Jesus to sleep through the squall. I mean, that's where it comes from. He's not worried. But we can't have rest outside until we have rest inside. And that's where it comes from. And we can't have rest inside until we start storing up his word in our heart to let the Lord do whatever it takes. And I mean whatever it takes for us to make the change. We got to give him that power. Let him do it. And that can be really hard. And here's why. Oh, he's so good. It's such a tough trade. He knows exactly. It's hard to do because when we ask God for a fix, it means we're going to get one. And that's just, we hate that. Oh, you get so scared to ask him for stuff because he's going to do it. And he's going to create that fix and make that change. And fixing things is a disruptive process. So we gotta stay straight on this point here. We gotta remember that we gotta make waves if we're gonna swim to shore. It's gonna happen. You can't do it. You can't tolerate your way to the finish line. We gotta trade tolerable for treatment, for real treatment, even if it means letting his word get in us and shake us and wake us, but ultimately make us better. And let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest, to talk about a paradox. In fact, read that with me. Let us, therefore, make every effort to enter that rest. That's crazy, but so true. So let me ask you this again, back to the beginning here. What's holding you back? It's comfort. Comfort. Because to live a fulfilled life without regrets, without any regrets at all, we should be ready to look the book that can humble our heart and kill our comfort right in the face and say, bring the pain. Because you know that you've tried the rest, but you want the best. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you and we thank you for loving us enough to kill that comfort that holds us back from your real rest. Holy Spirit, we ask that you give us the courage to continue wrestling with your word as we make every effort to snap out of this trance of the tolerable. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for enduring all affliction and defeating death so that we could live life to the full. And to that, everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.